Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On April 17th, 2013, an ammonium nitrate explosion occurred at a fertilizer plant in West Texas. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, remember that. The explosion was massive, and it damaged buildings or destroyed buildings throughout the town. One of the buildings that was greatly damaged in the explosion was West High School. After doing an extensive survey of the property, it was determined that it would be safer, easier, and more cost-effective to simply demolish the remaining structure and to build a new high school from the ground up, rather than try and repair and reconstruct what was left of the building. No, that what was left standing there. And I believe this is often the case with construction. That's why one of the first things that happens at a construction site is the clearing of the site. It's much easier to start fresh and to build something new from the ground up than it is to try to fix or to build or rebuild a severely damaged structure. And thus, demolition of the old is generally the first step in the construction of the building of the new. At least that's the way it works today. In the ancient world, they had a very different process for preparing to build something new. Rather than clearing away the old, they would come in and cover up the old. They'd come in with tons and tons of dirt, soil, and rock, and just simply cover over what was left of the old structures. And they would then build their new city or town or building simply on top of that mound that they had covered over. As you can imagine, these mounds over the centuries would become larger and larger. Each time something was destroyed and they would cover over it again, it just get bigger and bigger. These mounds and these homes that these cities and towns and buildings were built on are called tells. It comes to us from the Arabic language, which simply means a mound or a mount. And this is one of the reasons that we continue to have so many archaeological discoveries in the ancient world. Because each time they excavate an area of land or one of these mounds, they find the remains of various centuries of structures down below. The ancients seldom ever cleared away to build new. And thus, almost always beneath their feet were the remains of ancient destruction. That's a problem with the lives of folks who never learn to confess their sins. For you see, confession is a way to completely demolish and clear away those mistakes and those failures and those sins from our lives. Confession prepares us for God to come into our hearts with the flood of His forgiveness and to rebuild our lives on the foundation of His love. But failing to confess your sin and choosing instead to just kind of just move along, just cover over it, it's like building your life on a tell. Because down beneath the surface of your heart and down beneath the facade that you present to others of having it all together are the remains and the ruins of your life's failures. They haven't been wiped away and they haven't been erased. And thus they continue to tear down at your sense of peace and your sense of wholeness. King David, as we saw in our Old Testament reading today, was a man who was very familiar with sin and also confession and forgiveness. And he stated in Psalm 32, "When I kept silent," in other words, when I didn't confess my sin, "my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand," God's hand, "was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped like in the heat of summer." The guilt of unconfessed sin burdens us like a weight around our neck. It tears us down physically, as well as emotionally and mentally. It's like when you have a little rock in your shoe, and with every step it just pokes at you. It continues to bother you, and it kind of wears you down over time. You can't focus on anything else because every step you feel that rock. Unconfessed sin prevents true forgiveness from being experienced, and it prevents true healing from taking place. David went on to say in Psalm 32, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity, you forgave the guilt of my sin." Or as we read in 1 John, something we often use for our time of confession, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confession of our sins to God bulldozes the mistakes of our lives away, lays them flat, where God then sweeps it away. He sweeps away the rubble and the remains and the refuge, and he covers us with his forgiveness. That which he won for us through the death of his son on a cross and through his victorious resurrection on the grave. David sang in the beginning of Psalm 32, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." That man that David was talking about is us. You see, we're the ones whose transgressions have been forgiven. We're the ones whose sins the Lord does not count against us, because we're the ones whose sins have been covered over by the death and the resurrection of Jesus. His blood shed upon the cross and his resurrection from the grave resulted in us being forgiven of the guilt of our sin. God is faithful and he is just to forgive us when we confess our sins before him, because the debt of our sin has already been paid for by Christ Jesus. It's for this reason that going to God in confession is never a fearful thing, but it's always a freeing thing. We can go to him and confess our sins before him without any fear of punishment, knowing that he will and indeed already has forgiven us of our sins. Thus, while our confession is not the cause of God's forgiveness, it does clear away the rubble in our lives, that rubble which prevents us from receiving and acknowledging God's forgiveness in our lives. Confession prepares the heart to receive what God in his love has already procured for us, namely his forgiveness of sins. And that's why confession is absolutely and positively, without question or pause, always good for the soul. If something has happened in your life, whether it be in years gone by or even something recent, where a particular mistake or a particular sin is weighing heavy upon you, and you have never really come clean with it before God and confessed it to Him, I encourage you to do so sooner rather than later. Because as long as those sins or that sin goes unconfessed, you will not and you cannot live at peace. The road to healing and rebuilding begins by confessing your transgressions before the Lord. When you do, you will know the peace and the blessing of God's forgiveness, because He will not count your sins against you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified, risen Lord and Savior. Amen.